Hello and welcome to the Unbundled Attorney Mastermind Podcast. My name is Dave Ahrens and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Unbundled Attorney. In this podcast, we interview many of our provider attorneys, as well as some of the leading experts in the industry to isolate the best practices for building internet-generated leads and how to ethically and effectively offer unbundled legal services and other more affordable options in your practice. For more information about our services, visit www.unbundledattorney.com. All right, so this is a little bit of a change of pace in our usual interview format. Up till now, I've been the one to interview all of our provider attorneys, so I've been in the interviewer chair interviewing them. And so this time, we're doing a bit of a role shift, and we're bringing back one of the attorneys that was on our podcast, Ms. Sue Boonlutai, is one of our provider attorneys out of Seattle. She was in the episode, the turnaround episode, how one shift in approach can dramatically transform your results. Really good, well-received episode. So she's coming back on the show, and she's getting in the interviewer chair, and she's interviewing me. So this is a unique opportunity for you to get kind of a behind-the-scenes, behind-the-curtain understanding of, you know, how Unbundled Attorney came about, my views on, you know, not only lead generation, but unbundled legal services, the industry, the marketplace, the trends, the shifts, and, you know, where we're planning on taking this organization and the community we're building and the types of attorneys that, you know, we've been attracting and the potential impact that can have on the legal community and the people that it serves. So I'm not going to say anything else about this interview. I'm just going to let you enjoy it. So let's get right into it. This interview with Dave Ahrens, the co-founder and CEO of Unbundled Attorney. Hey, Sue, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm really looking forward to this interview. For those who are listening, we are essentially turning the table today. And Sue is one of our provider attorneys that came on the podcast earlier in an episode called the Turnaround Episode, How One Change in Approach Can Dramatically Transform Your Results. It's a great episode. But today, she's rejoining us on the show to interview me, the CEO of Unbundled Attorney. So we have an opportunity to dive into a bit of the genesis story of Unbundled Attorney, how it came to be, and the focus we have nowadays, and the future that we'd like to bring. So thank you, Sue, for taking the time to put on the interviewing hat and flesh out the story behind this whole thing as well.
Great, thank you. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our chats. I always enjoy our conversations anytime we're talking about the leads or just catching up on how things are going. So I'm really looking forward to this interview and the direction it'll go.
Great. So we kind of touched base this morning, and you actually thought that our conversation was going to take place a few hours from now. And so I thought that was interesting because it kind of threw you off a little bit, didn't it? Because you kind of had to do a little switcheroo and say, okay, it's happening right now.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit of a scramble, but we got all the equipment up and ready to go and ready to dive in. So yeah, it wasn't necessarily, there wasn't a deep space of meditation coming into this space. It was more like a running and scratching and pressing of a lot of buttons. But here we are, and everything seems to be functioning well, so I'm ready to dive in.
Yeah. No, and I brought that up because, you know, this is my first time interviewing or doing any sort of interview. And the last time we talked, I was on the other end where you were interviewing me. So I just thought it was interesting that you kind of got this little bit of surprise. So I thought, I know whenever we talk, you're all always so composed and professional. So I thought, my thinking was, how am I going to get Dave to really talk about what he really does and what Unbundled Attorney is really about? So I actually was grateful that things got jumbled a little bit on your end, because then I'm like, great. Now he's all warmed up.
Yeah, you got me a little out of my element. So we'll see where that leads us.
That's right. So when I first became a provider, I knew nothing really about Unbundled. And I tried to look up the information, anything about you, and through the internet, and what I saw was just a little picture of you and really nothing else. And so it wasn't until we had more conversation that I really got to know you and had an opportunity to really know what Unbundle is about. So what I want to start out with is basically asking you, you know, right now you're, where are you right now?
Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Okay. And how long are you going to be there?
For about the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be traveling over to Santiago, Chile, which is another kind of startup hub, and that's one of the passions and cultures of our company internally is a lot of our team members, those that work on our advertising campaigns, those that work on our sales division, myself, our tech division, all of our team members are what we be called a distributed team, which means that we work from various different locations all around the country, or excuse me, all around the world, working from co-working spaces in various different spots. So travel is a big part of our culture and the ability for them to work independently from anywhere in the world. So currently we're experimenting with Buenos Aires, Argentina, and then it'll be Santiago, Chile next.
Okay. So are you trying to, let us start with the basic. What is the idea, you know, as an attorney, when I went on board, I didn't even know what Unbundle services was. Can you explain to me what is the idea or how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, by definition, Unbundled Legal Services is essentially attorneys that are willing to limit the scope of their involvement in any given case down to specific tasks. So rather than requiring a client to pay them, you know, full traditional, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 retainer up front and then billing that retainer by the hour, they offer services that they basically serve the client one task at a time or only handle parts of the case, and then the client handles parts of the case on their own to save money. So to give you a couple examples, one of the most common form of unbundled service is, you know, our attorneys will offer, you know, a document assistance service along with some coaching and some guidance. So the client will come in and maybe they can't afford $3,000 to $5,000. So the attorney will charge them maybe somewhere between $500 to $750 or so, and basically draft up all their court documents, prepare the written argument and all the facts of the case, everything that's going to be pertaining that needs to be presented to the court in the appropriate language on all the necessary forms, the petition or response, whatever it may need, and then deliver that to the client. And then the client then files that pro se. Some of the attorneys will then give them some advice and guidance from there on what they can expect when they go to court. And then there's different levels of service. So they may review the documents and make corrections for the client under an hour-by-hour basis or as a flat rate, or they might prepare it for the client and then the client files himself. In other states, they might prepare it, file it, and then enter a limited appearance. And again, they're really just the amount of service they provide is specifically tied to the legal needs of the client and the specific circumstances they're needing help with, and also their financial considerations, and putting together a solution that suits their needs and their legal needs and their budget.
How did you get to be at this point? How did the idea even came up that this was a need or that you wanted to be involved in this process?
Yeah, so, you know, many, many years ago, at the right, you know, basically fresh out of high school, I started working with a company in the legal access plan business. A lot of people may have heard of it called, it's now called Legal Shield. It used to be called Prepaid Legal Services, and got a lot of experience working with people that were dealing with, you know, family law issues and various different types of legal matters and the challenges they were faced with when trying to find affordable and compassionate legal services in this country. And the legal access plan was designed to be able to get them a, you know, free consultation with an attorney in their area and get them a discounted rate. And to a certain degree, it was helpful to some people to be able to have someone they could talk to and give them some guidance and then offer some kind of a reduction on the normal rate. We found that was somewhat frustrating, though, is when people really needed to hire an attorney, a traditional lawyer, if their standard rate was, you know, $5,000, even if they offered a 25% discount, they were still coming in at, you know, $3,500 to $4,000 initial retainer. And while that, you know, is a benefit, is a value, the majority of families, that really didn't make the difference for them and their ability to, you know, hire an attorney or not. You know, that extra $1,000 off, while a benefit, didn't make the difference. And so the service wasn't working very often to be able to bridge that gap for that person financially. But what we did find is, you know, I ended up working with a different company, a different legal access plan company that was a competitor to that. I worked in the attorney resources division, which means I was in charge of, you know, building the network of attorneys, a provider attorneys that would be providing these discounts and these types of, you know, services under the plan benefits. And in building of that attorney network, I started to identify
what we would call, you know, kind of go-to attorneys, where, you know, if we had, let's say, 10 clients that had been signed up into the legal access plan and needed to hire an attorney, if I sent those 10 clients to a traditional firm that was 5,000 and, or, you know, 3 to 5,000 and then offer the 25% discount, maybe one or two of those clients would be able to afford to hire that lawyer. But these go-to attorneys, and at the time we didn't know what it was they were doing, it almost didn't seem to matter how, you know, where the person was at financially or what they needed help with. We would send them to these attorneys, and it seemed like 8, 9, or even 10 out of 10 of the clients we would send them would get help through that attorney. And so it raised the question. We said, well, what is it that these attorneys are doing that's different from all these other firms that allows them to help so many more people? And what we found out was that they were offering, and this was back in the mid, you know, early 2000s, unbundled legal services. And a lot of attorneys weren't even familiar with that concept at the time. Didn't really have a name per se, with the exception of, you know, a few lawyers, you know, being innovators in the industry in the mid 2000s. But basically, what they were doing is just tailoring the amount of service they provided to the client to their financial budget, and working with them on a pay as you go. Unbundled, you know, doing the document services or doing it one task at a time, breaking up the retainers, or they were doing payment plans, taking a low initial retainer and then just allowing the client to pay it out if it was something that they needed full representation for, and just ultimately just meeting the client where they're at financially and finding a solution with the various different types of options they were offering to serve that client. And so, you know, we thought, wow, you know, these attorneys are helping so many clients. I wonder if there's a way where we could build a network of attorneys that solely offers this type of service, this type of creative, compassionate, and more affordable, you know, suite of services that the, you know, that literally five times as many clients can afford as these, some of these traditional firms were able to. And so that was really the genesis idea behind Unbundled Attorney is creating a network of attorneys all throughout the United States, either that are already, you know, offering unbundled legal services, or by educating attorneys on these options and how they work through this podcast and through the other efforts that we have in place, educating them about how to offer these options also in a profitable manner so that they can serve, you know, the ever increasing amount of clients that are being forced to go, you know, to go it alone or file pro se in the family courts simply because they just can't afford, you know, the traditional way of hiring an attorney.
You have been doing this and being exposed to this, the legal access environment, since you were in high school. I find it interesting that you have been doing this since then, and instead of veering off and going to other fields or professional arena, what is it about this particular work that has allowed you to maintain and stay on this course? From listening to you, it went from merely a legal access, and you call it legal shell, and then you discover there's this group of attorneys who were providing more services to clients. And then you ended up describing what you do as network of attorneys. So most people who start doing something in high school, usually, you know, you talk to them 10 years later or so, usually don't end up staying in the same field. What is it about this work that not only did you start it out with Legal Shell, but you are now a co-founder of Unbundled Service?
I'm an attorney, yeah. You know, I think it's been an evolution. You know, I had great mentors along the way. You know, one specific mentor that I worked under in the Legal Access Plan that taught me a lot. And, you know, I grew up, you know, transparently as, with a single mother. You know, it was based on my two brothers, a single mom, and, you know what it's like to grow up very independent and very strong without, you know, a father there to, you know, to guide. And so it built a lot of independence, but it also, I think, developed on some level a certain degree of empathy and compassion for, you know, what it's like for kids to grow up without a father, with a single parent. And so on some level, I think I do resonate with the parents that are trying to get visitation and custody of their kids, especially the dads for sure, and the moms as well, that want to be involved in their lives and want to be there for their kids, but don't have the financial resources to be able to do so. And so the opportunity to be able to serve these parents, you know, that I wish, you know, my parent, you know, my father was there to be able to provide for, to be there as a kid. I mean, obviously it may be a lot stronger, but I think on some level it's kind of scratching that itch, and I can really empathize with, you know, parents that are, you know, willing and want to be there for their kids in that way. And then I think secondly, you know, the model has just kind of evolved step by step, and just we constantly improved upon it. And then we just saw a real opportunity to make a significant difference in the lives of thousands of people across the country. And so that's really compelling to me. There's a lot of ways to make money in this world. You know, I've been working on internet marketing for many, many, many years, you know, for probably over a decade now. And so, you know, we could really market anything, but I think anytime you have an organization that has the ability to make money, but also make a significant difference, that's really attractive to me. And I get a lot of fulfillment and drive, and it's very exciting to see not only our attorneys, you know, being really successful, you know, obviously growing their practices with our leads, and, you know, being able to serve so many more clients and coming up with new ideas, and we share things with them and they apply it and it works. I mean, it's really exciting to see them having success. But also, we know at the same time, all these clients that are coming through, you know, that otherwise, you know, may not be able to afford any, you know, get any kind of assistance at all, now, you know, are being able to get their needs met legally, and also work with attorneys that are really, you know, a unique group of attorneys across the country that, you know, are very compassionate and willing to serve them. From a standpoint of, you know, commitment and heart. So I think it's just really enjoyable. I think that we're really making a really strong impact. And as far as, you know, what's possible with Unbundled Attorney, with the network and the partnerships we're creating with other companies, how it's integrating the technology and all these different trends, it's just really exciting. I look forward to going to work every day to support our network, build out the network, develop new tools and resources to educate attorneys about how to offer these options, going to conferences and you know, learning more about other platforms that can streamline the practice of law. It's just, I find it really interesting and also very fulfilling. And I'm really excited about, you know, being a part of where things are at in the legal industry right now and where I see them going in the next 90 days to 1 year to 2 years to 3 years from now.
You know, when I started doing Unbundled services, from my end, what I see, the end result that I see, for example, is, you know, I signed up with your service and you know, effortlessly kind of set everything up, and I start getting the referrals. So I see the mechanic of how it works, and I get names and I call people up. What I don't see is the idea and the overall big picture that you are trying to achieve. Why is it so important for you and for you're representing the organization and the company right now, but I know there's many people behind you. Why is it so important that you connect all these people with the attorneys that we're talking about, people like me and the others that are in your network? I mean, I see that it works, right? You get me the referral and they're good referrals.
Yeah, good leads. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that's part of it is, you know, you put a lot of work into something for many, many years. We're in an industry where that, you know, the lead generation industry, the legal industry, you know, a lot of attorneys say, oh, I tried that, that doesn't work. You know, and it's really unfortunately gotten kind of a bad rap for a lot of different reasons, a lot of different companies that have come through here and just not really had the same level of commitment. So it's very gratifying to come into, especially solo practitioners who are just getting started out, or, you know, attorneys that are struggling, you know, to feed their families and make a living and have that completely turn around. And then taking solo practitioners that are fresh out of law school or even just going for a year or two and literally giving them enough volume that they can build an entire firm around the leads. I mean, we've watched, you know, over the last 3, 4, 5 years of working with, you know, certain attorneys with our longer term relationships, you know, attorneys that were just starting out and just, you know, started working with us and now have, you know, 3, 4, 5 attorneys work in their firm, we're fueling them a high volume of leads, and they've been able to build a practice, feed their families, raise their kids. And so, you know, I have a lot of loyalty and commitment to, you know, making sure we continue to fulfill for all of the relationships and attorneys we've built over the years. And so I think that's, to me, you know, very gratifying to be able to support them in that way and for them to give us feedback and to continue to serve these clients in a way that, you know, is affordable for them. And then I guess on another level, I really feel like we have an opportunity to make a significant change here in the way legal services are accessed in this country. And I share that same vision with a number of other, you know, companies in this industry that want to, you know, really bring technology into this space. And, you know, there's been the internet has really changed a lot of industries, but I had found that the legal industry is particularly conservative and, you know, haven't really embraced technology in the way that, you know, other industries that I'm exposed to being an internet marketer have. And so there's just so much opportunity, I think, to shift the way attorneys run their firms and how they integrate practice management softwares like your Clio, you got automating the billing systems, then you're using document automation software, and it really is shifting and bringing down the cost. And as a result, you know, we have a major injustice in this country of the amount of people that are just going it alone because they can't afford it. You know, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. You know, if attorneys learn how to integrate these options, integrate technology, we can really stand to make a, you know, like really help a lot of people. And I like that idea, you know, that we can have success and make a difference at the same time. I think it's, you know, it's just something that's we really enjoy being a part of.
You mentioned a word, your response, that I think it's really important. You want to create a shift. And I remember as an attorney, right, and, you know, many of my colleagues who are listening could relate to the idea that from our side, we are in a way taught to practice and relate to clients a certain way. And we are also given this image that you're supposed to do things certain ways. This is how it's always been done. For example, for family law cases or even immigration cases, we take a retainer. And the case, usually we know offhand that each case should be, you know, at a minimum, a retainer would require about $5,000 to $10,000. That's how it's always done. That's how, from our stance, big firms, how they grow from being small firm to a big firm, a successful firm. So when you talk about shift, what I hear is, are you asking me and are you telling me that I should rethink that way of doing business?
Shifts are inevitable in a changing market. That's the reason we, you know, Unbundled Attorney came to exist and, you know, all these things are happening is because there's been some significant shifts in our world. You know, we share this on the webinar on our website. You know, back in 1972, I think it was maybe like 1% or 2% of people were filing pro se. And, you know, some recent statistics is that's as high as 70% now. Okay. So if you were practicing 40 years ago, you now have a completely different marketplace as far as the amount of people that old way of relating to clients financially, as far as doing that $5,000 to $10,000 retainer. Now, all of a sudden, the amount of clients that can be receptive to that model and work has just been reduced from, you know, 99% of the clients down to about 27% or 30%, right? So you've got way less amount of people that can afford that. And then at the same time, you know, I've shared some statistics on the webinar as well. We now have three times as many lawyers per person in this country. You know, and so there's some statistics on there as well that you can look into. But, you know, we got a lot more law school graduates coming out of these law schools. And so you've now got one third of the amount of clients and three times as many attorneys competing for them. Okay. So when you're looking at that market and you look at these trends and these shifts, well, how do you differentiate yourself? How do you stand out of the crowd and continue to thrive in a marketplace that's going to be completely flipped on its head? And, you know, one of the answers that we found to that is, well, you find a way to profitably serve the majority of the market, which is now the clients that can't afford the $5,000 to $10,000, but can afford $500 to $1,000. And so it's just getting smart about the way in which you can craft the solutions to serve the shift in the market. And so, yeah, that's a shift in the way you're going to practice and the way you're going to run your business. You know, the problem is, you know, a lot of attorneys come from a more of a self-employed mentality where it's like they've always done it a certain way and they don't necessarily want to shift. But being a business owner, and you have to be able to evaluate the marketplace, look at how to position your products, price it accordingly to what the market is receptive to, and adapt as the market changes. And so these shifts, it just seems like with the shifts that are happening in the market, if attorneys want to continue to thrive, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now, they also need to shift along with it.
What we discussed is the practical shift, right? Because what you provide, and again, I'm in my office and I do what I do, which is, you know, mainly I study, right? I read cases, I read books, I learn the law. So I don't really have a hands-on picture of what is really going on in terms of the demographic of what the clients are doing. And you're providing that gap. You're saying that, look, in the past, with the model that I have been using, you are now, before, 40 years ago, that was 99% of how the population was relating to attorneys. But now you may have maybe 1% of those individuals who can afford the $5,000, the $10,000 retainer. but you have 99% of everybody else who can't do that number but can do it at a different pace. So by not adjusting how your business model works, then we are closing the door for our own growth and business growth to 99%, you know, or 80% of the people out there that is available resource for us on a, you know, on a business level. So that's a practical shift. But I know from my experience, what does it take? What kind of philosophy does an attorney, usually an attorney who end up doing this and succeed in doing the unbundled services, what kind of philosophy shift also happens as a result of being successful at this kind of service?
Yeah, when you ask that question, it really reminds me a lot of our podcast episode and your journey as a provider attorney and taking these leads and so forth, and the shift that you had in the way you were approaching serving your clients, right? And so, you know, it's a good episode for those that haven't heard it to listen to it, because, you know, essentially, if I recall, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the main shifts was initially you were coming into the space where it's like, okay, I'm getting these leads. How do I monetize these leads? How do I, you know, sell them on my services? How do I get these people to pay me so that I can pay my bills and run my practice and accomplish my financial goals and grow my business, right? So how can I get these leads, you know, and convince them to enroll in my service and pay me, you know, to represent them, right? So it was the approach or the perspective you're looking at was, how can I get these leads to serve my needs, right? And I think one of the fundamental shifts that you had was, wow, you know, as you started thinking about, okay, how can I serve my clients first?
Because I was discovering that when I was thinking about more of how am I going to monetize it, I was getting inconsistent result and I was not very effective. So I figured that something was off, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there was a gap. I'm not doing it the right way. Somehow I'm not connecting to the client the right way when I think about, okay, if I look at the referrals that you send me and I look at them as just merely an opportunity to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while I'm successful somehow in getting to come to me and see that and I profit from that. But I was noticing that I was not as successful in getting them to come in when I was doing it that way. And so that made me realize that something is off with my thinking process and how I was relating to the client.
Yeah, and so I think one of the major shifts was you started thinking about, okay, well, how can I just come into the space of this conversation with this client and serve this person wherever they're at? And that's gonna take a lot of different forms. It's going to be serving them from the standpoint of their legal case, you know, and putting yourself in their shoes. And so you're going to be relating to them in a very honest way. You're going to tell them specifically what they can do, what they can't do. Being honest about them if they say, you know what, you know, if you can't proceed with this case, being like, you know what, you can't actually move forward here, and just being very transparent with them about what's possible, what isn't. And, you know, no matter what happens on that conversation, it's one of the attorneys I've talked to as well, his philosophy is this client is going to be in a better position no matter what happens, whether they hire me or not as a result of this conversation, because I'm going to add value and I'm going to direct them and I'm going to give them some information and some ideas that is going to help them move forward, whether they move forward with me or not. So that's one level. And then the next level is, okay, that could also take form in the types of options you might start to offer and structure them, let's say. So you might find out, okay, so you're looking to file for custody. You've talked to some attorneys. They said $3,000. You know, maybe you told me you can't afford that. What can you afford? Or what can you fit into your budget right now? Is it $500? Is it $1,000? Can we do structure? What can you afford on a monthly basis? So then you might start to tailor a service where maybe you do a pay as you go, or you figure out, okay, well, why don't we do your documents? Or maybe, you know, I'll just spend 2-3 hours with you doing this piece of it. We'll see how they respond to it, and then we can kind of go from there, right? And so you start to come just, you know, almost intuitively or just kind of emerges from that intention of I'm going to serve this client no matter what, all kinds of different creative ways of structuring the way you might work with them arise almost naturally, because you're just coming from the standpoint of, okay, how can I get this person to where they want to go with the financial barriers or abilities that they have,
And so then, you know, maybe you do an unbundled service, or you do, you know, pay as you go, or you do a, you know, payment plan structured, and then they, you figure out what they can do monthly, and then you figure out how you can, you know, structure that and use some technology to automate that. So, but all of that comes originally from a standpoint of how do I first serve this client? And in serving the client first and coming from that space, the client feels it. They know, you know, that you're coming in and having a genuine care consideration for, you know, how it is you're relating to them. And so they appreciate that, and they can feel, and people know, people really know whether, you know, when they talk to someone, if they're trying to get something from them or if they're there to serve them. I think people naturally have that kind of intuitive antenna. And so those people kind of can feel into that. And by serving them first, the attorney in turn, what we found is they in turn get served, you know, exponentially more financially, because the client resonates with them, they want to move forward, they have confidence, and, you know, retains them so much more often. They're getting various different creative services. They don't have to turn people away because they're, you know, intuitively coming up with solutions that they wouldn't have come up with before. And then the whole way of relating to the clients and the types of services that they offer as a result completely shifts as well.
What is your goal, even 3 years from now? Where do you see in terms of the growth of the company? Where do you hope to take this? For example, we're just getting to know you and the genesis of how this works. Are you trying to get as many attorneys in your network as possible so that you can provide more services to clients? Or what are you trying to achieve in terms of the goal?
Yeah, there's a lot of different levels to look at that from. I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, serving our clients, you know, one of the things that's, you know, unique about us as a lead generation company is that we offer an exclusive lead, which just means that we only send that client to one attorney and no one else. And so that means that there are a finite number of leads in any given area that we can generate because we're not sharing with five other firms. And so there's going to be a limited number. And so really what we're trying to do from a network standpoint is to create relationships with attorneys in each jurisdiction that embody these types of principles and can be one of those attorneys that serves the 10 clients and not the one or two out of 10, right? And just offers unbundled, has this type of shift in approach in the way they relate to them. You know, probably is passionate to some degree on family law, immigration, or estate planning, or whatever, you know, is the form of practice that they work with us within. So, and create relationships with attorneys in each jurisdiction such that the whatever amount of clients are coming through, we know that they have a, you know, a compassionate provider that can serve their needs. And that, as it turns out, might only be, it could be one lawyer, it could be two, it could be three at most. You know, sometimes we might have four, it just depends on the size of the metro, but it's really not a lot of attorneys. It's the right attorneys that kind of share that same type of philosophy. That really, you know, I want to find a way to serve, you know, this bigger part of our market, the average working family, and create creative solutions that they can offer them and also grow their practice as a result. And so from a business standpoint, we're looking to fill out the network in all the areas we don't currently have an attorney. And there's, you know, we have most of the major cities covered, but there's still a lot of cities that we're trying to identify and create relationships with attorneys in each city. And then once we have those relationships established, then we don't actually need to get more lawyers there. We just need a few lawyers in each specific area. So, and then we're going to be, you know, in the future expanding to Canada as well. This will be the first time I've announced that, but we will be moving into Canada. I'm originally from Vancouver, British Columbia, and I want to bring this service to my fellow Canadians. So that's going to be happening soon. So that's a growth opportunity. And of course, there's, you know, some logistical stuff that has to happen to make that possible, and infrastructure and that we're building and so forth with our application and so forth. But so that's one component. That's just the business side of it, is, you know, identifying attorneys in all these different throughout the country that offer these options so that we can confidently send our clients to them and know that they're going to get that 9 or 10 out of 10 help as opposed to that 1 out of 10. And then from an industry standpoint, we have the opportunity, not outside of our company, to kind of, like, there's a really good book called The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. And one of the things he talks about, it's a wonderful book. One of the things he talks about is industries when they reach critical mass. And you reach a certain amount of people that, you know, initially might say, you know, because, you know, it's been interesting to watch this process actually happen in the legal industry, where initially when a new trend or new thing, like, for example, cell phones or something, they were initially ridiculed, I mean, because they were as big as freaking your head. And there were these giant car phones. Everyone was like, yeah, cell phones, that's silly. And they're initially ridiculed, right? And then, you know, the next phase is they're, you know, violently opposed. You know, and then the cell phones, the people are saying, well, they got radiation, you can't have cell phones, and you know, this kind of thing. And the telecom companies that were offering the home service, you know, were really, you know, trying to pose these new, this new cell phone companies. It was just a real battle. You know, I don't know that industry very well, but it's just giving the analogy. And then eventually it hits a critical mass where enough people are using cell phones that it just takes off. And that's usually about a 2% market penetration. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was a really great picture, you know, of the Vatican from behind. And it's, the picture was taken, I think, in 2007, 2008. And you just see a sea of people, and it's just people, right? And then the picture is taken 3 years later, and it's just a sea of phones, right? And it's just like, whoa, from the exact same angle, right? And so what happened there was critical mass. You know, and it basically, if you look at it like a graph, it's like a giant hockey stick. It kind of slowly just kind of meanders. Then it hits 2% and all of a sudden it takes off. And so that's what I see is possible in the legal industry. You know, once, you know, attorneys start to embrace not only the technology, trend of technology, and streamlining the delivery of the services by leveraging technology. And then second of all, you know, finding these more creative ways to work with clients on a budget and so forth. And then also, just working together to find even outside of the box ways from a charitable standpoint, from a contribution standpoint, creating nonprofits to serve even those folks in between. But it, when it's enough pressure is taken off the courts of just average families that could potentially get help from just a, you know, an unbundled attorney that knows how to do that, now all of a sudden the courts aren't backlogged and they can, and the state will then have the funding to help the folks that, that they really should be helping. And then all the attorneys can help the folks that, you know, are kind of caught in between. And so there's really an opportunity to shift this injustice of affordability of attorneys in this country, where, you know, it really comes down to the dollar as far as, you know, father or mother's ability to get custody of their kids in many cases. And so that to me is something I'm really excited to be a part of. And I see that happening over these next few years as all these trends start to coalesce and combine.
What do you think is preventing the critical mass from happening right now? What, you know, what was the resistance in doing this work, in getting the type of network that you need? What's getting in the way right now?
Well, I mean, I think you kind of touched on it before. You know, attorneys are taught to do things a very specific way. That's how it's always been done. And it's a very conservative industry in that sense that, you know, for something to change, you know, it has to go through ethical considerations through the bars, and then an opinion has to come out, and then, you know, then it has to be trained through the CLEs. And it just, you know, there's a lot of, to be fair, I think there's just a lot of fear, you know, of offering, you know, new innovative type of approaches in law, because, you know, a lot of attorneys are rightfully concerned about being sued, and is it ethical, and are they going to lose their bar license? And there's just a lot of things that in other industries just don't prevent companies and industries and entrepreneurs from moving forward, because they just don't have those hindrances and they don't have those fears and concerns. And so they just apply, they just move forward. They go, that makes more sense, let's do this. And they just, and they don't have the same, you know, amount of considerations that they have to have before they make a change. And, you know, and the whole industry has to kind of move gradually, because this is a very old industry. It's a noble industry. It's an honorable industry. And so, you know, every decision has to be thought through. I know from a broad standpoint, as far as how is this going to impact clients in the future of law. So, you know, there's a lot of considerations here. And so things just gradually take time. But on more of the private scale, you know, I think it's just a matter of attorneys learning about these options. You know, it's been interesting over the years to, you know, to call into attorney's office and say, hey, you know, what type of, do you ever offer unbundled legal services? And, you know, 5 years ago, I might get 1 out of 100 attorneys that even knows what the term unbundled legal services is. And now when we call into offices, it's more like, you know, maybe 20% go, oh yeah, unbundled legal services, limited scope. Okay, yeah, yeah, we've kind of heard about that. So the other part of it is just, they don't even know that these options are something they can offer, and that's starting to shift, you know, because you have a lot of state bars getting involved, like the Massachusetts bar, where they have, you know, an actual training course, the LAR, Limited Assistance Representation training course that attorneys can take to learn how to ethically offer these options. And so the states are now getting involved, the ethics opinions have come out, and so things are gradually starting to shift, but it really just takes time for all these things to happen.
Beyond almost institutional, right, the institutional shift that needs to happen, for example, you know, the bar getting involved and making it more open and having the conversation. I think the other shift that also is much, much harder to make is the ideological shift,
right,
that the legal profession has to make. And I can share with you why I was, you know, I have to be honest with you, doing this work in the beginning of providing the unbundled service was a really scary concept for me. It was scary because as an attorney, I kind of live in this bubble, and I'm comfortable with dealing with individuals and people who have power, right? And I want to, it's easier for me to deal with clients who I think have power. And a lot of time, power is connected to the ability to afford resources. You know, the ability to give me the 5,000 retainer, the ability to give me 10,000 retainer. And the moment you have to step away from that and say, you know what, this person can only afford 500. This person can only afford 300, maybe 1 hour of your time. The moment I think about that, what it does is create this fear, because I'm just going to be blunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being poor is scary. You know, not having the ability to afford things in your life that is necessary is scary. And the majority of us, even though we are like attorneys, the majority of us who are here now are in the power position and have the ability to make money. The reality is we've all been there. Most of us have all been there where in order for us to make it through the first year of law school, we had to eat ramen noodles for weeks on end, you know, and we had to live in a one, you know, in a room the size of a closet because we can afford to pay rent because our money has to go to tuition. So for us, once we get over that, it's much more comfortable to be serving people who can afford the $5,000 fee, the $10,000, the $20,000 fee. And it helps us to stay there. So the moment you ask us and say, you know what, Sue, can you please find a way to serve somebody who can only afford you for $1,000? What that does is it scares the shit out of me, because it reminds me that I once was there.
I mean, can you talk about a little, I mean, I don't want to get in interview mode here, but I mean, I can certainly give my thoughts on this as well. But just from your own perspective, you know, because I personally feel like that on some level, attorneys feel, and tell me how you, whether this resonates with you or not, that if you serve, if you're helping people that are poor or lower income working families, that means yeah. that you're kind of peddling to the poor, and that you're probably going to be poor as well. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but
right.
can you talk about that?
There's the other idea where, you know, we have. We kind of also bought into this story, right? When you're an attorney, in order for you to be successful, especially in front of your peers, you have this image that here's how we define success in our field. If you do civil litigation, for example, in my field, I do personal injury. This is my story, that in order for me to be considered successful among my peers, I have to be taking in and bringing the kind of cases that make me millions and millions of dollars, and that I have to take on the big cases. And so when I'm doing family law, in order for me to be considered successful in doing what I do, I have to be bringing, I think I should be bringing in the kind of clients that can afford me for $10,000 at a time. Because if I don't, if I serve the poor, if I have to adjust my way of practice so that I'm more affordable, on a professional level, I am scared that I may be considered not as successful as other people in my field. And I'm also scared, I'm also concerned that the clients that come to my office will not think that I'm successful as an attorney if I'm only taking in $300, $500 here and there. So I have this story that I have to overcome, and, you know, what does it mean to be successful? And also the fear that if I do this, if I go at this level and accept that I may be stuck there, you know, that I may be the attorney that couldn't afford, you know, my rent, that I can't afford to pay my staff. So that's, I think for me, I really had to overcome that fear and the image and the stereotype and the stories of what it means when you're sitting here and being an attorney, and what does that mean, and what does success mean, and what is it that you have to do? And the only model that we were presented in order to be successful has been you take on those big cases and you take on those clients that can only afford you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think that's a, it's an old story, you know, and
it's one of the old story.
Yeah. And one of the things that's, you know, consistent about, you know, all aspects of what you're sharing, and I really appreciate you being so, you know, transparent and honest about your own personal fears. I mean, I think that's really one of the things I really appreciate about you the most is that you're willing to put on the line. I think clients really resonate that with as well, is that you're so honest about, you know, what you can do for them and also how you relate to them as well. But one of the things that's unique about that story, and maybe there's a lot of lawyers that share that similar story, is how they're viewed by their peers. It's very much an externally focused way of looking at things. Like, you know, how is everyone else going to view me on this?
Yes.
How is the client going to view me? You know, and so forth. And it's really about how you thinking about how everyone else is going to look on you, as opposed to, you know, I think what a lot of attorneys are doing now is, and what you've shifted towards as well, is like you're looking at, okay, what's important to me? And that number one, it's making, yes, I want to make money. And number two, it's making service. And then how do I actually relate to the client? How do I actually serve and serve who's sitting across me? What do they need? Not what everyone else needs to think of me. It's how do I serve this person? And when that shift, I think, happens, one of the things that we've found to be very, very true is the attorneys that actually do the most, you know, once they shift and they offer these options to start working with these people in a creative way, it's the attorneys that have actually fully embraced these options, you know, really, you know, built efficient systems on offering unbundled for both the document services, payment plans, they've got their technology behind them and so forth, and have really embraced this model and how they want to serve these people, and they're passionate about that. Those are the ones that have actually are really doing the best financially. They've gotten the best at serving the small guy, because again, that's our market. So just from a business and economic standpoint, that's a good thing. But also, it's just they've overcome that, and it's just now they're focused solely on serving their clients and finding the best way to do that. And they've, as a result, found ways to adapt to the marketplace and do it. And it's no longer about what everyone else thinks about them. It's what they think about themselves and how they want to relate to their clients and how they're going to build their own business, you know, in their, you know, for the, that works for them, you know, works for the clients.
Absolutely. You know, I think you hit it on the head when you said that fear that I'm talking about is not only that old story, but is also the story of how susceptible we all are in having external forces define us. Right?
Yep.
What I was describing is all the external stuff that defined who I am as an attorney and probably define me as an individual. And until we shift that, until we realize that, we can let all of that go. And it's, you know, it's not an easy shift, because it's a fundamental core shift on how you look at yourself and how you relate to the world and how you can change the world.
Yes.
Based on you, not based on what anybody else thinks.
Yep.
And that, I mean, I think that is very, very critical. But also, when you look at the external factors in how you define yourself, we also have to keep in mind that we also project that onto the people that we want to serve, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I certainly project that to people, you know, to the clients who I thought at first, like, oh, you can't afford me. Well, you know what? Why should I give you the time of day, right? And the more I started letting that go and start stopping that projection and just got to know them, I discovered that, you know what, at the core of it, it's not about money. I mean, that's only a small piece. You know, I was just telling you the other day, you know, I talked to a client and I was really honest and I said, you know what, at the end of the day, here's the reality. You have to pay. You can't get away with this, because this is what being an adult is. You have to be accountable, and part of that accountability is financial. So you can't run away from that. But what else is there? Why didn't you sign up with the other attorneys you spoke with? Why are you deciding that you still want to come and see me?
Yeah, and so like the old story might be, okay, what's the biggest retainer you could get? Right? Like you would sit in the country club and be like, oh, you know, this last guy paid me $8,000 as an initial retainer. Oh, well, this guy paid me $10,000. And so you're trying to get those like big, big, big cases, the big, big personal injury cases. Maybe we need to create a new story, which is, how many clients were you able to serve that you met with? How many clients out of, you know, if you talked to 20, were you only able to serve the one that gave you the 20K, or were you able to serve 18 or 15 of them? Because your options are so creative
and so adaptive, and you're relating to people in a way that they can trust, you know, and really just count on you in confidence that you're about that, you know, serving them. You know, how many clients were you able to serve today, this month? Not how big of a case, but how many people were you able to serve, and how many people had been had they been turned away from that you were actually able to help? How many of those people were you able to help?
You know, 2 years ago, my struggle that I couldn't put together and I couldn't make it gel was the idea. I always had the philosophy, and I know that most people who go into this field, you know, a lot of us has this idea of, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference to a lot of people. I don't want to just make a difference to one person. I want to make a big impact. And that's why I've chosen this field, because I thought this is where I can do the most good. And then I got, you know, in the practice, opened my office, and then the reality hits. It's like, okay, I have this idea. How am I going to reach them? Where am I going to find these people that I'm going to be able to help? And I feel like with what the service that you provide and coupled with technology, it has given me the link, the missing link of connecting, making the connection that I want to make an impact, not some idea, not some, you know, not the idea of other people thinking this is how I should go about the world, but how I want to do it.
Yeah.
The referral source, the Undundle Attorney Services, gave me that link of being able to reach as many people as possible so that I can make a difference. So it, for me, it, no, I had to make the shift of, what is this about? Is this really about money, or is there a bigger picture involved?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for a lot of attorneys, and you've shared that with me as well, you know, once the leads are coming in consistently, and it, you know, anytime an attorney, you know, sets up an account, it is very consistent. You know, whatever the volume is going to be, depending on the region, they can pretty much rely that that's going to be the same amount of consistent volume, you know, day in, day out. They can expand if they want to. They can open up new regions, but they can count on it. And that, for a lot of attorneys, that's a big weight off their shoulders, because they don't have to think about the marketing, they don't have to deal with the administrative stuff. It basically puts that aside and then goes, okay, these clients are going to be coming in now. How can I serve them? How can I be more in tune? And that's one of the things that you did, is you shifted your whole brand and said, you know what? You know, I represent this. This is who I stand for. I'm, you know, Wise Woman was your new branding. And it just, you know, you no longer had to worry about, okay, how do I put on these marketing traps? How do we, you know, do blog, network, and try to, like, get to know all these other people out here so they'll refer people to me, and, you know, and so forth.
Yeah.
You could just focus on, okay, the clients are coming in, so I'm going to focus on, who do I want to be? How do I want to relate to the clients that are now coming in consistently? Because that no longer had to be a consideration for you, because you knew that those clients were going to be there, you know, every day.
Well, I think the other thing that is important to mention is, when you know, because the reality is, we only need so much money for our overhead, right? For to make things run on the practical level.
Yeah.
Once that's met, what you have then is you have the freedom to craft your work, to craft your practice, to craft professionally everything around you in a way that's more consistent to your internal speak, to what it is that you really want to do. For example, you know, the moment that I knew, I'm like, okay, I can rely for this month, this is how much money I need to make in order for me to make my overhead, to pay rent, da-da-da-da. When I can see over a period of time, like, okay, I can rely on that, then I'm like, I don't have to have that fear of, I'm not going to make the basic needs.
Right.
Then I was able to say, okay, how do I make this even better? How do I integrate more of myself and more of my vision in doing this work so that it's more consistent?
Yeah, you no longer have to come from a place of scarcity. Like, okay, how do I get this person to retain me? Because I got to pay my rent. Okay, so now you've got you've got that consistently coming in, the bills are paid, and now you can come from a place of abundance. Okay, how do I want to serve this client? You don't have to take the case if you don't want to. Now all of a sudden that changes the dynamic completely. They don't get the sense you're trying to convince them or sell them. You can relate to them from a standpoint of integrity. Like, the whole thing shifts so that you can just be on stable footing and just relate to clients on a way that you want to, and you don't have to overstep any kind of boundaries because you've got your bases covered.
That's right. It takes you from a place of disempowerment to a space where you can do what you need to do to move yourself to more empowering position. And when you're able to do that, then you can serve your clients better, Because, you know, with energy, right? Energy is very catchy. If you are full of fear, when clients come in here, their office, and they feel that you're scared, they're going to catch that. They're going to catch that fear.
Yep.
But if they come in and sit in front of you, and you just stay with them and show them that it's okay, it's safe, I have the skill, and together we can solve whatever it is. This is just part of life. It doesn't have to be any bigger than that. And you just need some assistance in maneuvering through it. That shifts everything for the person that is sitting right across from you.
Yep. It's a completely different dynamic. And it also gives them the space to just open up as well, because they know that you're not trying to manipulate them. You're there to serve them no matter what. So it allows them to be really honest with you. You know, and if they have a barrier or fear or something they're concerned about, then they can share that too. And that just, you know, creates that connection, that rapport, and builds that trust that allows them to feel comfortable. And then, of course, you can move forward and accomplish so much more with them, because then down the road, you don't find out, oh, by the way, this was going on or anything like that. They can, they just feel like, you know, they can bring everything to the table. You guys can flesh out a plan. They can move forward without them feeling like, you know, you're going to be subverting them somehow, or there's anything else at play that they have to protect themselves from.
So my next question that I want to ask is, do you have a mission statement that Unbundle Attorney works with?
Yeah, I mean, our tagline is lead generation with a purpose. That's, you know, changed actually recently because we're one of the things that's been really frustrating, at least, you know, as a, you know, a CEO and someone that's running this company and working on a marketing and so forth, is, you know, from a marketing tactic standpoint, you know, the old adage is you kind of have to meet your prospects where they're at. And where, and the initial attraction to lead generation is, hey, you can get some more clients, you can make some more money. Right. And so that's all good. You know, attorneys got to build their practice. They got to get more clients. And that's what we do all day long. We do lead generation, been doing it for many, 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 many years. And we do it really, really well. So that's fine. Like, and that's one component. That's one, you know, aspect of, you know, attorneys got to get more clients. They got to make more money. But the other component, which is what I've, you know, really, you know, wanted to instill into what it is that we do, is realizing that we're looking for a very specific kind of attorney that has, you know, a passion for serving clients in an innovative way, and relating to them in the way that we're all, where we've been describing on this interview, in a way that's a little bit different in the traditional sense, a little bit different than in the full service retainer. And, you know, and we want to find those types of attorneys that resonate with that message and want to deliver these kinds of services. But it's really hard to instill that on a website. It's really hard to instill that, you know, even in a podcast. You know, I'm interviewing, you know, our attorneys, and they embody those principles, and so they'll share those principles, and I'll lay in my own two cents here and there. But, you know, I really appreciate this opportunity, because we can kind of be more open book about what it is we really stand for. And that is that the most important and most, you know, thrilling thing, just like you said, once you have your bases covered, you know, this company has been profitable for many, many years. We've been doing fine financially. Everything's great. And so, you know, from that standpoint, we can start looking at, okay, how do we actually make a contribution? How do we make a difference? How do we want to relate to the industry? What kind of impact do we want to have from a legacy standpoint? It's just like how you relate to your clients. How do I want to serve this person? Because you got your bases covered. So that's the space we're in now. You know, it's about, okay, how can we attract the right amount of attorneys? And that's that purpose side. You know, when we have some things that we're in the works of creating a foundation and starting to contribute to that foundation, supporting nonprofits, and, you know, we're releasing that, you know, later on this year, and we still got a lot of work to get there. But, you know, that's that for-purpose aspect, which is how can we collectively, by sharing ideas through the podcast and through, you know, our community of attorneys and so forth, sharing strategies, price points, ideas, and cooperatively working together towards the same aim, which is, okay, how do we serve the 70% of people that are currently going out and represented, and do it in a profitable manner so you can make money while doing it and serve them? How can we cooperatively come up with the absolute best way to do that? And that's the purpose. You know, that's the underlying purpose that, you know, that we really try to, you know, live by and operate by, and you know, those are the type of attorneys we seek to attract, is, you know, attorneys that share that principle.
When I think of purpose, I think of value, right? It's more of a value based. And what you described for me is more of the how to, right? How you're gonna do it. You want to serve the 70% who doesn't really have access. And you want to find attorneys who have the philosophy and the passion to serve people. That tells me more of what it is that you do. I guess, do you have, in terms of more value-based purpose that you're trying to get to? If you find, for example, once you find, and there, I think there's more people out there who have this philosophy and the passion to serve in your network. Once you achieve that, what do you want to make of it? What do you want to do with it? What do you hope will happen?
Well, I mean, the effect of that shift, as far as making a significant impact on the affordability and accessibility of legal services in this country, I mean, I guess maybe on my own, if I were to analyze from my own personal standpoint, it means that we're going to have a lot more kids growing up in healthy environments. We're going to have a lot more kids, you know, being able to get raised by two parents, or get out of environments where they're being abused, or and really cultivate our next generation, because the clients and the parents and the people that are going through these processes, you know, our next generation of immigrants, you know, the people are able to get the access to the service they need, to get the rights they need to get instilled, to be able to be there for their kids and raise them the way, you know, with good values, good American values, Canadian values, whatever is those principles are that I've lived by as well, you know, integrity, being honest, being transparent, sharing from a standpoint of vulnerability, being committed and passionate about what you do, being ambitious. I mean, all these different values that thread their way into the family. I mean, that's our next generation. And that's it's untold the impact that can have on all of our communities and, you know, the world in itself. And there's a lot of calamities going on right now in our current environment, you know, the media, politically, and so forth. So, you know, these values, you know, are really important to our future. And so, you know, maybe I haven't fully crystallized exactly what that impact is. And in fact, I think what I've realized is, you know, we don't really need to be able to say that's what we need, want to have happen. It's really a culmination of enjoying the process, knowing we're helping so many people, and not necessarily really even knowing where this is all going to lead, but knowing that these are the underpinnings that are going to lead somewhere good in the future based on our own values and what we see happening. So, you know, I think, you know, the answer is, you know, I don't really know exactly where this can all take us and what the impact it can have, but I know that one person impacted. You know, there's a great story about the butterfly effect by Andy Andrews. Yeah. He calls the seven decisions, and he just talks about how one boy who made one decision all those years ago, one man influenced this one boy who taught him the love of biology. And, you know, to instilled in him this love for plants and studying plants and so forth. And so, and then that boy then grew up to be a scientist that invented this new hybrid of corn that was able to survive a great drought. And millions and millions of people were impacted and their lives were saved because one, you know, individual instilled a love for plants in that man. Right. But then you can go one step before that, you know, and they can, you can, and he tells the story and he goes four or five layers back of like how, you know, this child was, you know, was taken from the clutches of these bandits that were going to come and raided the entire city. But this one man took this baby and raised him as his own. And then that baby grew into the man that influenced the boy who then instilled the love of plants, which then saved the millions of people because of the drought. Right. So on some level, you know, we don't really know, you know, how this is all going to create it. So you just kind of go with what feels right, and intuitively, you know, is true, serving clients with where they're at, coming at it from these principles. And it's really untold, you know, what this next generation could look like if, you know, they're raised with these types of core values that, you know, we all know, you know, are the types of things that are the underpinnings of what make economies and businesses and communities really function.
You gave the perfect answer. And you didn't, I don't think you caught it, because I basically asked, I tried to pin you down and put you in a box and say, what is it that you really want out of this? What is your major purpose? And at the core of your answer, you said, if all of these things are in place, if we find a group of core attorneys who have these values of wanting to serve people and having the company and you being the connector of connecting the attorneys to all these people, what will come of it? Your response was, you know what? This is, right now, this is what I see, but at the end of the day, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Dave, is a really, really good answer. And it's a good answer because it is not in the box. Because
mm-hmm.
you're asking us as attorneys to step forward and provide this kind of service and step out of the box that we have been in and taught in our profession and say, can you give this a try? Can you do something just a little different? And I don't know if we all come aboard and have this same idea of wanting to serve our community, and I'm providing and showing you how this can be done through technology. If we do it, and I can't give you an answer of what this is going to take us, but I just think it is going to be great. That, for me, is a definition of what it means to not be in a box and to just live in the possibility and know that at from moment to moment, as long as you give it your best shot and be as authentic as possible and do all these things, we don't know. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's the principles we live by that dictate our behavior. And you just know, you can intuitively sense.
Yeah.
You know, what's the
right
way of
proceeding? I let you struggle with that. I let you struggle a little bit to give me an answer. But the reality was, that was perfect. No, we don't know. We don't know. And I think for me, this is why I'm just so excited to, you know, I mean, I know you have bigger vision of what this is going to look like in terms of technology because you're the brain, you know, you guys are the brain and the know-how of doing this. For me, I'm just starting to really embrace doing things differently because, you know, every time we talk, you're telling me, Sue, you should consider doing this. Have you thought about just doing, you know, FaceTime with a potential client? How about Skyping? And I was resistant, and slowly I'm integrating that. And that, for me, is being out of the box. And so far, the result has just been really incredible.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate, you know, how receptive you are to feedback and that you really are seeking the truth and figuring out the best way to go about relating it, and you're pushing through those barriers every single time. You know, we often thought about how we could have you back on the show and we could do the turnaround episode where you turn around 100 degrees and then turn back around and then turn around again. And just, you know, you're constantly evolving and moving forward each level at each different level. And sometimes you take a step back and then take two steps forward, but ultimately you're moving forward and finding more creative ways and more authentic ways. I think authentic is really one of the underpinnings as well. Authentic to you, the best way you can relate to these clients. And, you know, there's some learning curves involved as far as the how-tos. Okay, how do we integrate that technology? How do we plug that into the integration with the API? That's all stuff we can work on. You know, the sales strategies. What do you say on the initial call? How do you field the lead? You know, that's what this podcast is all about. The how-tos are all there. But once you've really embraced that philosophy and that approach to service and being willing and open to serve those clients in an authentic way and creatively from a standpoint of heart, and we've talked about that before, from a standpoint of heart, then all these how-tos and all these things, they're all learnable. And they're all there. The tools are there. The systems are there. It's all in these podcasts, you know, from our team all the way down to our sales division, everything. We can teach all that. But we can't teach heart. We can't teach that philosophy. So it's really about just kind of, we're trying to create a tuning fork where, you know, those that that really, you know, stand for a simpler principle, you know, will resonate with that, come in. And then all the how-tos of how to do this, what price points, you know, how to do the document automation, all that stuff, you know, we can learn that as we go. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you embody that principle and, you know, and that makes it so that anything, any barrier, any tactic or anything that, you know, you need to apply to continue to improve, it's just, you just embrace it and you move forward. And that's been the process that I really enjoyed shepherding and working with you on in the time that we've worked together.
Thank you. So I don't have any more questions. Do you have any last minute thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a great place to wrap up. I would say, you know, for anyone that has listened to this episode or has been following our podcast, if they haven't heard, you know, other episodes of the podcast, there's a lot of great attorneys we have on there sharing a lot of great ideas. But if you do resonate with this, reach out to us. You know, come on to, you know, unbundledattorney.com. We've got a little contact form. You can just reach out, send us a little note, say, hey, we'd love to chat. You can just call the office number. And, you know, we're the type of team that will be very honest and can share with you and can sense into whether this is a good fit for you or not. And, you know, we're about creating long-term relationships. That's why I've never had a long-term contract and so forth. It's just really open-ended, trying to create relationships with the right attorneys and the right jurisdictions so that, you know, we can all cooperatively make a big difference, not only for in your practice financially, and grow your practice, make more money, accomplish your financial goals, but also help a ton of people in the process. And if that's something that's important to you, and maybe you haven't found that yet, or you know you want to get around people that are committed to that same type of principle, then you know we might be a really great fit to work together. So I would just encourage you to reach out and connect with us.
And I also will offer. I know when I considered signing up, it was you providing me with a couple of resources and say, you know, here's an attorney that you can talk to and ask him about how this is working out. Please feel free to give my contact information for any attorneys who kind of sitting on the fence and say, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if, you know, you're the right fit or I'm the right fit for them. I thought I'd just make that available for you, Dave.
Well, I really appreciate that, Sue. You're obviously really busy with your practices, so the fact that you put yourself out there to talk to some of these attorneys. But, you know, what's really cool is, you know, we're going to have the retreat, you know, maybe towards the end of this year. And so, you know, some of these attorneys that you talk to that will be coming in will attorneys that you're going to meet. And I'm really looking forward to meeting
yeah.
you know, as many attorneys in our network as possible and cultivating these relationships. Because, again, we call this the Mastermind Podcast for a reason. This is a mastermind principle. We're all cooperatively sharing ideas. We don't have all the answers. A lot of the things that we share have come from great ideas of, you know, one attorney trying something new, and that worked great and was able to help people. And so we share that with everyone else. And so, you know, that's the community we're creating here. And I certainly appreciate your willingness to contribute to it.
I think that's one of the things that's really attractive, right, is that I also need community. And I know that whoever signs up to be a provider, that we already have a common value that we're trying to work towards and a common idea that we're trying to do. And so for me, it's always nice to have people that I have personal relationship with that I can call up and say, you know what, I'm struggling with, you know, dealing with this. How do you make sure that you close the consultation? So it's more of a practical matter. How do we make it happen? And so it's nice to have people to kind of have conversations with and kind of brainstorm and figure out what is the most effective way of doing this on the business side too. So that's a great resource.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Sue. And thank you for being our valiant interviewer for this episode. Thank you for your time. I've really enjoyed our chat today, as always. I certainly hope the listeners have gotten a lot of value from this episode and getting kind of a closer in-depth look at, you know, what's going on behind the scenes here. And so thank you, Sue, for, you know, being creating the space for this interview and this conversation to happen.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yep. So for that, we'll go ahead and wrap up. For everyone else who's listening, thank you so much for participating in the podcast and being a part of this community. And we'll see you all on the next episode. For more information about how our lead generation services can help you grow your practice, visit our website at www.unbundledattorney.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to subscribe so you get each new episode as soon as it's available, and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Once again, thanks for listening.